The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So warm greetings and welcome, and especially more welcome now that you can hear me. And I want to begin this morning's meditation, and to be a theme for the meditation, if you'd like, is a little statement that would capture Buddhism in its essence. Three words, that if there's you only could use three words, that this would be Buddhism, and everything else about Buddhism I would like to believe, just an elaboration, application of these three words. And those three words are cause no harm. Do no harm. And exactly what that means, and, you know, of course, it takes maybe some discussion about it. But to be able to keep that in mind, that this is really at the heart of what Buddhism is about, is not causing harm. And for meditation, that means in particular to not cause harm to oneself. And then what we learn how to do that in meditation then becomes then the basis for which learning how to do that, how to be a non-harming person in the world and with others as well. And in meditation, it's not just a matter of learning to restrain ourselves from causing harm, but to actually grow into becoming a person who is incapable of causing harm to oneself and to others. So maybe that's a tall order. It's a great goal. It's a great direction to go. And so the way to reach that goal in meditation is to begin practicing it. And so it isn't just a matter of like meditating on the breathing, but learning how to meditate in such a way that we can be focused on the breathing or focused on the present moment, whatever the practice we're doing, in a way that we're attentive, sensitive to the ways that we might be harming ourselves in that process. And what stands out strongest to me is ways in which we're self-critical about it. I'm not doing well enough. I need to do better. I want something different. And there's all these desires and clingings and expectations and judgments that come into play. Some of them, things we've kind of done a lifetime of it, that we begin to kind of notice and we begin letting up. We begin by realizing we don't have to believe these things that we do. We don't have to listen to them and go along with them. It might be hard to stop some of those inner voices and tendencies, but to begin shifting our relationship to it so they don't have the upper hand. And then with time, to learn to let go of them, and to soften them and relax them, and to be able to sit, even when meditation is not going well, or we're not particularly feeling well, or the mind is not behaving in the ways we want, that the art of all this, the heart of it, is given how it is right now, let's not add harm. Let's not add a second arrow. And finding that place and letting that be the foundation upon which we develop mindfulness and concentration and so forth, we develop those things on the basis of not causing harm. This is a tall order, of course, but this is kind of at the heart of what the enterprise is about. It's not just about getting concentrated or becoming mindful, but doing so we become a person who causes no harm, no self-harm to begin with. So to take a meditation posture that is the appropriate posture for you, a posture that will allow you to become attuned to your present moment experience. Some postures, especially if they're too relaxed, might enable a certain kind of complacency or kind of a lack of engagement, that it's easy to drift off into thought. So there might be some alertness in the posture. If you're sitting in a chair, you might consider sitting up a little straighter. Or if it's possible, not to use as much of the backrest as you are using. And then generally we close our eyes. And it's closing the eyes is a little bit of a ritual, a reminder that for now we're going to be here in the present moment, attuning ourselves to our direct physical experience, the direct inner experience, what's actually happening for us here. And closing eyes is also, can be, if that's what you do, a beginning of a certain kind of turning to, it may be inward, some people would say, but turning to the experience of all the other senses. Becoming aware of the ears, hearing, and allowing yourself to receptively hear the sounds around you, or if it's mostly silence, to take a few moments to hear, in a sense, the silence. And hearing can be a very nice teacher for mindfulness, because we generally don't interfere with the sound that comes to the ear. In that very particular way in which sounds just arrive before we judge them or react to them is one reference point for simplicity of mindfulness. To become attuned to the physical senses, to how particular nerve endings at the end of your nerve channels pick up the sensations of your body. It might be temperature, the temperature nerves, warm and coolness in different parts of your body. Tactile nerves that feels the contact of your body against your chair, your cushion, the floor, the bed. The nerves of proprioception, feeling your body in space, the position of your body, the uprightness, or wherever you're sitting. Feelings of pressure and lightness, heaviness and substance, whatever way you feel your body. Then become attuned so you can attune to the place in your body where you feel breathing, where the body most clearly experiences breathing. And then to accompany the body as it breathes, to feel the physical sensations of breathing, the rhythm of how the exhale feels and the inhale, perhaps even riding the waves of inhale and exhale as the sensations of the body come and go. Maybe as you exhale, to begin relaxing the mind, whatever pressure or tension there might be associated with thinking, or associated with your emotions. As you exhale, relax and soften. Maybe as you inhale, to begin a process of opening up to experience, opening it up to the experience of breathing, and then continue that opening, releasing as you exhale. Now, there are any attitudes that you have now that could be seen as forms of harm, judgments, criticisms, expectations, not good enough, it should be different. Those don't necessarily come with harm, those thoughts, but they might. Is there any kind of way in which you are now that is in some way can be said to be harmful to yourself, an attitude about yourself, or anything at all? And then too, as you exhale, maybe you can soften and ease up and the way that that harm is being caused, the source of it, the source in the immediate present, how you are, how you're contracted or tight or for these few minutes here in meditation. Maybe there's absolutely no need to engage in the kind of thoughts and attitudes, desires, wants, aversions that are, in a sense, causing harm to oneself. You're allowed to be as you are, simply, relaxedly, and from this basis to develop and cultivate present moment awareness, mindfulness of breathing here and now. Is there any way now that you can let go of causing self-harm? Even the subtlest ways in which it's stressful. To sit here with a certain peacefulness from which there's a dedication to being present and aware. Aware of that part of the present moment which is not causing harm, does not involve harm. And then as we come to the end of this sitting, and as a dedication of merit, as a aspiration for how to take the benefit of this meditation into the world, rather than living for the benefit of all beings, rather than wishing for the welfare of all beings, sometimes it's simplest and maybe most realistic to aspire, come out of meditation and aspire, be dedicated to not causing harm. For this day, to have no harm that's either done towards others or imagined towards others with thoughts of hostility or inappropriate desires or judgments. And may it be that coming out of meditation, building on the practice of mindfulness, that we spend a day being a person who is safe for others, that we're safe in the sense that we are not going to cause harm. May all beings be free of harm, free of violence, free of oppression. May all beings experience safety that allows their good hearts to come to the foreground.